Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm going to read a few verses out of that book, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about turning adversity into an opportunity in your life, that no matter what situation that you're in, no matter what crisis you may be in, that there's an opportunity that God has available to you no matter what season you're at, if you respond rightly to it. And it will not be an opportunity if you don't respond rightly to the crisis that is in your life right now. And many people are going through a lot. I understand that. Many people have victory on their mind and in their heart, and they've moved in a great place through some crisis. But we want to make sure that every crisis or every adversity that we face, according to the Word of God, can be used as an opportunity for us to go deeper in our faith with Him, in our character with Him, and knowing Him. How many of you in this place have been through a crisis in your life? Come on now. Absolutely. We all have. Sooner or later, it's going to hit you. Something's going to hit you. Something's going to happen. And how you respond is huge. I was talking to a gentleman earlier here today, and he was talking about his son and how his son went through a crisis, and his son decided that he was going to respond rightly. And so what he did was he took 30 days to fast and pray. In that 30 days of fasting and praying, it completely, absolutely changed his life. And now he's a worshiper and he loves interceding. The spirit of prayer rests upon his life and his whole life has changed because he responded to the crisis. He said, I'm not going to respond out of my bitterness. I'm not going to live in it anymore. I'm not going to have it anymore in my life. I'm not going to be bitter at anyone. And I'm going to choose God and I'm going to seek God. And in 30 days, his life is completely, absolutely changed. That's responding. That's pretty, he must have been in a desperate situation, but how about it for you? You know, when you have a desperate situation, do you listen to all the advice that come from people and their opinions that is not grounded in the Word of God? Many times we do, don't we? We listen to the opinions of other people and other Christians because other Christians are quick to give us the advice. But is that advice rooted and grounded in the Word of God? And is that advice coming from the love of God? And so that's what you have to ask yourself continuously, that we respond rightly through the Word of God and the way that the Lord would want us to respond. So if you look at 1 Thessalonians, let's go to, let's start with chapter 5, verse, I think 14. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek that which is good for one another and for all people. Then it says in verse 16, it says, rejoice always. Okay, that it has to be a supernatural thing. Rejoice always, not sometime, but always, no matter what your circumstance, no matter what you're in right now, find that place in the Holy Spirit, in that presence of God, in intimacy with God, that you can begin to rejoice no matter what is taking place. That is a supernatural act. That is a supernatural place with God. Because that doesn't come naturally for us to rejoice in tough times. But the Word of God is saying, rejoice always. I'm going to get off track, but I'll get back on quickly, hopefully. One of the things that I believe is going to happen in the body of Christ, in the church, is that we're really going to find out what it really means to be a family of God. What it really means to be a family in as believers. Not so much connected into, let's just say, denominations or this way or that, but as a family. In the first century church, we realized that the church, they were walking in power and they were walking in authority. They walked and they had everything in common with one another. They were giving. They were sowing into each other's lives. Healings were taking place everywhere. God was showing up. His glory, His presence was everywhere. If you didn't tell the truth, things happened. And that was the first century church. And right now, I want to say this to all of you because I just want to get this out. I believe that the family of God, Those believers, it's Jesus said, I will build my church. No man or woman is going to build the church of God. He told us to make disciples of others. But he said, I will build my church. Jesus, the head, is going to build the church into a place that we can be sustained in the midst of all crisis and adversity. That's what he said. And he said there's a day coming that his glory, what we sang about, is going to be much more present than it is at this common moment. I believe that the family of God, listen to this, is going to enter into a place in the near future that every inroad that Satan has into every believer's life is going to be halted and stopped completely. And the glory of God is going to begin to be in the midst of the body of believers or the family where Jesus is the head. He says that there's going to be a greater outpouring than any other time in history. And the church is going to come into this place as a bride of Christ, making herself ready for this eternal covenant with the mighty King Jesus, the bridegroom conquering king. That's going to take place. It's going to happen. Whether you want to believe it, whether you want to hope for it or not, the word of God is true and I trust it. And it says there's a day coming, a great harvest where the outpouring of God is going to come. And in that, yes, there'll be adversity. Yes, there'll be crisis. There'll be all kinds of things happening in the earth. And the enemy will be trying to destroy everyone. But there's something that's got to happen where the glory of God is emanating through his people. And we have no fear whatsoever, but we're walking in the power and the authority. And what we bind, we can bind. And what we can loose. Because of that authority resting upon us. We're excited when people get healed. We're excited when God moves and the Spirit moves. We pray for that. We pray for his presence. But there's coming a day that healings, all people will be healed in the name of Jesus, in the body of Christ. And I'm believing that. I know that that is part of the great harvest. Because in the midst of his glory, in the midst of his presence, everyone gets healed. Everyone gets healed. And so there's coming a day, a hope that we have. Not a place of boredom, not a place of just getting by, but a place of walking in absolute authority. And what does the enemy attack in your life and in my life? He wants to attack you in the area of your authority. That you don't believe who you are in Christ and who he is in you. That's what he wants to do. He wants to begin to break us down so that we don't walk in that destiny and that purpose and who we are called to be. And so he'll create all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of adversity, all kinds of things, crisis coming into your life to break your family down, to break you down, so that no longer can you be used as that messenger with a message that's filled with grace and love. Grace and love, that the love is abounding in you. Because sometimes when you walk in your authority, if you don't have love and grace and humility, pride begins to well up quickly within you. It's happened in my life, in dealing with demonics, and dealing with deliverance, and beginning to move from place to place, and people calling on the phone and wanting me to come here and wanting me to come there to take that authority and deal with what was on people. And all of a sudden, I got puffed up about it. And God humbled me quickly. He created a crisis in my life. And immediately, he got my attention. And I didn't want to respond the right way. I was like, oh, what did you do? You weren't there. What happened? You left me. You've forsaken me. No, he didn't. He was teaching me how to respond, how to move in his authority, how not to go into a setup where the enemy has set me up so that he could bring me down, but to have intercessors and people praying, not thinking that I was some lone wolf that could do anything. God wants us to function together as believers. God wants us to be excited about our purpose and our destiny and our calling and who we are. The presence and the anointing of God wants to be released through us so that others come into our midst and they respond because they know it's Jesus, it's him. Should we keep staying at it? Absolutely. Should we stay in the Word? Absolutely. It says in the Word of God to pray unceasingly, that we continually pray throughout the day and through the night. Told you I'd get off a little bit. I'll get back here. Where was I? Rejoice always. There it is, 17. Pray without ceasing. Continually pray. And look at this. In everything. What is everything? What is everything? Everything. I love that response. Everything is everything. Everything is a whole lot, isn't it? It's everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for you. In, what is God's will for my life? God's will for you. Part of God's will for you is that you give thanks in what? Everything. Everything. Every trial. Every little bit of confusion. Every little setback. Every little challenge. Give him praise and thank him. Everything, give him thanks. It's the whole thing of attitude of gratitude. You know, that was a big thing along. You got an attitude of gratitude. I've heard that over and over. You know, preached and taught and motivational speak. Have an attitude of gratitude. Absolutely. If you don't have an attitude of gratitude about all things, then you'll just be down in the dumps continuously. Every day you've got breath. Every day, I love you. I thank you. And believe you me, I'm preaching to myself. Because challenges come every day. Every day. But how am I going to respond? How are you going to respond? Are you going to look at that challenge or that crisis as an opportunity? Or that adversity as an opportunity to go deeper in the ways of God? We've got to. We face hardships. We're going to face them. But there's a purpose for it. It's a purpose for us to grow and to go deeper in the ways of God. Our Heavenly Father is always has a purpose in adversity. Always in our lives. If we respond correctly, we can profit from it. Profit from it. We can grow deeper in the ways of God. I wanted to use an example just quickly. I won't go through all the details, but I wanted to use the example of Joseph in the Old Testament and all that he went through. He didn't always respond rightly, but eventually he did, and every time he did, he grew, and it prepared him. In every adversity he had, God was preparing him for something that was about to happen in his life. And he had some bitter, bitter adversity. The first one I want to talk about is his brothers. He was born, and of course, you know, Jacob's favorite one, and the brothers hated him. So he grew up how? In mistreatment. He grew up in a bitter situation, in a hostile environment, in his family. How many of you may have grown up in a hostile environment in your family? But he still believed in the promises that God had for him. That was his first thing. He lived as a slave in Egypt. That was the second thing. And when he lived as a slave in Egypt, all the hostility toward him as a slave, he learned how to deal with it as he was growing up with his brothers. For they hated him. Joseph's brothers, of course, you guys know the story in the Old Testament. They threw him into a pit to die, to leave him. He was forsaken. He was left. And Joseph did this. He remembered God's promise. And I want to encourage you tonight, what is God's promise? What has God spoken over you? What have you heard the Lord say to you about being a worshiper, about being a man or a woman of God? What has he said to you? What is the promise that you've heard that really still sticks, that even comes back, and you can remember it a little bit, maybe a prophetic word that was given in a divine moment? Remembering God's promises. And through that crisis of being left to die, Joseph trusted in the promise of God. Maybe today you need to trust again in the promise God has for you. Of course, you know the story. After he was in the pit, he was found and he was sold into slavery. Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt. And what did he do? In Egypt, he didn't just say, okay, it's over. He learned the culture. He learned what was going on around him. And he still trusted in the promise of God. He was trusting God. And even in the hardship, sold into slavery, he trusted the Lord. He trusted him. And then after being sold into slavery, who purchased him? Potiphar. Who was Potiphar? He was the bodyguard for Pharaoh. And he went to Potiphar's house. And so he was purchased by Potiphar. And he discovered in that setting how to manage a huge household, and God's blessings was upon him. So even as a slave in a place of responsibility, you might have had a job at one time where the Lord used you in this job, and you're thinking, why in the world did I do that for so many years? That job might have been to position you for something that God has for you in the future, to teach you something. I used to think, why did God call me into the restaurant business? And I remember that part of it, was to learn how to serve people. No matter how they complained, I still served them and tried to make them happy. I was a firm believer that the customer is not always right, though. just so I throw that in there. Firm believer. You want to make them think that they are, but they're not always right. So what happened? Another trial for Joseph. Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. And he found out in the midst of that he could resist that temptation because he wanted to do what? He wanted to honor God, but he also wanted to honor Potiphar. And so he learned in the temptation that his devotion to God kept him moving through that. His love for God kept him away from that temptation of that woman. But of course, he resisted her, but he was still blamed. And then he was put into prison. And he was still obedient to those who were over him. Listen to that. Look at all the things, boom, 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 that's happened in his life. And he was still obedient to those that were over him. He was put again into prison and charged with a huge crime. He barely got away without being killed, okay, because God had a purpose for him. And yet he honored and the authority that was over him in the prison. He was obedient. And the one thing they saw in him in the midst of great adversity, that he was kind. He was kind-hearted to people. Still, he was kind. So the seventh and the final trial that he went through as far as a crisis, Joseph, was he was asked, okay, we need somebody to interpret Pharaoh's dream. He had positioned himself before God. He knew he was ready. He could begin to go and interpret this dream for Pharaoh. Joseph was ready to do so. But I ask you the question, why? Why was he ready? Why? Because he allowed every crisis. And I'm not saying I have not responded to every crisis and adversity in my life well. I've made big mistakes, but God brings me back to that place to respond the way that he calls me to respond. So just because you blew one, or you blew two, or 100, God's plan is still plan A for your life, not plan B or plan C. He has a plan for you. And if you get back and say yes to him, he will begin to grow you in that area of maturity. So Joseph was ready to interpret the dream. And why he was ready? Because he used every trial in his life to be a little bit wiser. He used every trial in his life and every adversity and conflict to be a little bit more devoted to his worship and his worship of God. And he came to that place in every trial and every crisis and every adversity that he could say, I'm going to trust God in every season of my life, no matter what. No matter if I've lost my family, no matter what. Ooh, I almost went off. I'm going to trust God in every season of my life. And God wants us to take adversity, to take a crisis, maybe something you're even going through right now, and he wants to strengthen your life. And he wants to strengthen your life in him. He doesn't want you to live in a place of being afraid. He wants you to trust him. He doesn't want you to live in fear. He wants you to trust him. I know things are crazy all over the world. I know that things are on a tipping point. But he wants us to trust him through everything, to prepare us for the challenges that are ahead of us. A few ways, and then I'll kind of close here in a little bit. A few ways to turn a crisis or adversity to an opportunity. Number one, we know the great scripture that everyone quotes, Romans 8:28, that all things work to the good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Well, that's the word of God, and that word of God is true. And even though, if you look at Joseph, and if you recall one instance of Joseph's life, and you would say, man, Joseph, you're in a pit. You're in a pit. They've left you to die, and now slave traders have found you. Somehow, some way, in the midst of his life, he knew and he trusted the promise that was over his life and that all things were going to work to the good. Somehow, he knew that even in that situation, that all things were going to work to the good. That's a devastating place. I'm sure none of you have been put in a pit, left to die out in the wilderness. If you have, please talk to me afterwards. I want to get your story. But that's a tough place. But he trusted the promises of God. I gotta say this again. You don't go where you need to go in the ways of God based upon the opinions of Christians and what they think you should do. You go on the ways of God through His Word and through anointing that is in believers, men and women, that share with you and always point you to Jesus for the answer and always point you to the Word of God as the direction and the roadmap for your life. You gotta allow that to happen. All things work to the good. Believe it. That your Heavenly Father, He is in sovereign, absolute, divine control, and He controls everything. And if you don't want to believe that, then you're not responding well to a crisis. You've got to believe. You've got to get to that place of surrender and say, I'm going to trust You. And I'll get to it in a minute. You got to really trust God when you pray a lot and things don't change and you're going, I did pray. I did hope. Man, you don't know how long I prayed. God didn't hear my prayers. Oh, yes, He did. He heard them all. Well, why didn't He answer them? Maybe He did. You just don't know it yet. Or maybe He's going to. But see, that's the key of making it through a trial, of being steadfast and saying, I'm going to trust Him no matter what. I know that all things work to the good for those that love God. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what I've done. God's grace, mercy, love, and forgiveness is available to me right now in this place. I'm good. I'm set free. We sung about it. Michael led us in it. We're set free in Christ, free to worship, free to bow down. Most of the problem that we have getting to that place of intimacy is not really other people. It's us. And if we can just surrender some things to Him, I don't know how many times I've heard people talk about being hurt by the church. I've heard that so much. I've been hurt by the church. I've heard that over and over. I just can't, you know, I've been hurt so many times. Your eyes are on people and not on Him. You've got to get your eyes on Him and understand that He is your focus of affection. A lot of times people say they've been hurt by the church. I'm never going back there. Well, first of all, that man or that woman wasn't to build the church. Jesus is going to build the church. It's His church. And it's built through men and women that submit their complete lives to Him in a place of brokenness. And they're serving for He's the head of it. And it's not about building anything for them. It's about building everything for Christ and for His honor. And to disciple. Like tonight, this is discipleship time. All of you are in here and you're hearing the Word of God. You're hearing testimony. I'm pointing you to the Word of God and trying to direct you in a place that you can get out free in the place of serving God, because you're not going to allow your trials or your adversity or your crisis to begin to just keep you in a place of bondage. But God wants you in a place of freedom. You don't hear me saying to you, I know this is a little, you don't hear me saying to you, man, I want all of you to be real faithful to Voice Ministries. Don't you understand what we're all about? I'm not saying that. I'm saying I want you to be faithful to Jesus Christ and know that you have a plan that is available for you, and it's from Him. And He wants you to interact with other believers and other people. There's going to be a lot of false Christ. There's going to be a lot of damage that's going to be done in the body of Christ. And that's why if you have a root system of intimacy, you'll be able to recognize it for what it is, and you'll be able to pray and intercede for those that are leading many down a trap. And you know that's going to happen. That's biblical. But we hear that if there's one thing, we will tell you over and over, it is all about Jesus, and it will always be about Jesus. And He's the one that you look to. He's the one that leads you. He's the one that directs you. He says, don't forsake the assembling of one another together. We need to be a family. We need to gather together in His presence and in His truth. We need to function. You know, this week, I've probably, it's all, just Tuesday, and already I know of, just two leaders that I've spoken to of other organizations where we shared our heart about our journey and what's going on in Christ. And where they're at, and what's happening, to encourage each other on the journey. We encourage each other. That's what we're called to do. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Okay, number two, another way that you can turn a crisis into an opportunity, accept that the Lord's ways are higher than yours. Pretty simple. You can write that down or lock it in. Just accept that the Lord's ways are higher than yours, and he will lead you, and he will guide you. You can't lose heart, but you just got to keep asking him, why, Lord, and keep asking him, and he will speak to you. Simply trust God's intimate involvement in your life. Trust his intimate involvement and his desire to be intimate with you in your life. That's one way that you get out of a crisis. Another way is refuse to make quick judgments in the midst of a crisis. And ask God, God, what are you doing in my life? Why? What's going on? I've said it forever. If he can create you, he can communicate with you. Why? Why? Why is this going on? And if he doesn't answer for a while, keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Why, God, is this happening to me? Don't make a quick judgment and move out of something. You know, we get that emotions and feelings. I love the feelings and that they happen, but many times those feelings cause us to make a quick adjustment. And it's not maybe of the Lord at all. Another way to get out of a crisis and turn it into an opportunity is focus on God instead of the crisis. Meditate on his word and quit focusing on all that's wrong and meditate on the word of God. And what that will do, the word of God will make you aware of how much he loves you, and it will fuel you to make it through the days. The word and his presence in your life. Amen? That's a good one. Okay. Another thing, how do you turn a crisis into an opportunity? You release the anger. Joseph somehow, I don't know how, but he released it. He let it go. You release the bitterness. You don't let the anger and the bitterness take root in you. And if it has taken root on you, you allow Jesus to come, the divine healer and wonderful counselor, and speak to that area of bitterness and anger so that it can be released. And you exchange it and you give it back to him. You release it. When you can release your anger and your bitterness, you're free to begin to flow in the promises of God. When we release it, every circumstance. Another way that we can turn a crisis into an opportunity, that we no longer submit to our will, but we submit to God's will. We say, Lord, I want your will in my life, even in the midst of this trial, even in this midst that people don't even understand what's going on with me. I'll give you a heads up right now. I'll give you a heads up about Christianity. If you walk in the fullness of who you are in Christ, people are going to think that you are absolutely not from this planet. Yeah. I'm serious. If you walk in the fullness of who you are, they're going to think, what's going on with him? Now, that doesn't mean that you're freaking everybody out on every street corner and everybody you encounter. That just means that you are done. Stick a fork in him. He's done. He's sold out. He's living. She's living for Christ. They're done. And when that happens, people are going to go, man. And there's some kind of fear in us that we're so concerned about how people perceive us. You're going to be considered, and then what's going to happen is for a while they're going to say, man, this guy's whacked out. He's got, you know, he's a Jesus freak. I remember going into a nightclub after getting radically saved. I remember going to the nightclub before I got radically saved. And I'd move to a table, and everybody'd go over there, and we'd have a good time. I remember coming in after I was radically saved, and I'd move in the club, in the bar, and everybody moved to one side of the bar. Everybody avoided me like the plague. And it hurt. It hurt for a while. But then I realized, I'm walking into the den of the enemy, and they're just like, yeah. I remember, you know, Bobby D's got Jesus. Don't worry, it'll be a few weeks, a few months, he'll be back. I never went back. I stumbled, I'd fallen, but I never went back because I had something and everybody thought I was a freak. And that hurt because I thought, you know, being popular was where it was at. And it wasn't at all. At all. Now I've lost my whole position of where I was at. Let me see if I can get back to it. What was the last thing I said? Oh, let go of your anger, right? Wasn't that anger? Oh, no, to submit to God's will. Right? Yeah. And then what we talked about earlier, another way of getting out of a crisis is to always demonstrate a spirit of gratitude. And I really mean that. That's what the scripture just said that I read to you, to be thankful in all things. a spirit of gratitude. I'm thankful. Man, I'm thankful. I ate today. I'm thankful. I've got a bed. I'm thankful. I've got shelter. I'm thankful. But you used to have, no, don't do that. I'm thankful. I'm breathing today. I'm thankful. An attitude of gratitude. And I'll tell you why. That even in the darkest valley that you can ever be in, if you have an attitude of gratitude, it will bring you out of that valley. It'll bring you out of that dark place. Because it's just something about being thankful. Don't ever take God for granted. Another way to get out of a crisis and move into a place with Him is to look at the crisis as a place to see God working. Look at the crisis or the challenge or the adversity or the trial as that this is an opportunity for me to grow and in deeper understanding of God, to trust Him more. And then, of course, this one I've already mentioned two or three times because it's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine. Don't listen to unscriptural interpretations of your situation. Let me say that again. Don't listen to unscriptural interpretations of your situation. Many people have good things they want to say to you to help you. And they feel like they have this, you know, this knowledge. And if it's coming from God and coming from a place of love, it can be advantageous to your journey. But let me just say this. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, don't grab hold of it. Don't grab hold of it. Now, sometimes it may appear that it's not from the Word of God and is exactly from the Word of God. It's just being presented in a different light. So you have to discern that through the Spirit. But be careful in a crisis and when you're in that situation about all... Everybody wants to be a counselor. Okay, everybody wants to be a counselor. Everybody wants to tell you, that's a good thing rising up in most of them. But you know that there's some folks out there that are sent, that are on assignment from the enemy to give you counsel to take you deeper in your junk. And they show up like a beautiful person, an angel of light. And they're there to destroy you. I've had them come to me many, many times as an angel of light on prophetic, demonic assignments to lead and to deceive in a complete different way. And you just have to discern. Time, truth, and fruit doesn't lie. And you have to see where they're at. But when you rest in God, when you trust in Him and you have your authority in Christ, there's an authority that rises up in you that can speak to almost any situation. You can begin to discern. You can feel it when someone enters the room. A lot of times when people enter the room, we've had people on assignment here at Voice many different times that were... literally SRAs, satanic ritual abuse victims that were sent on assignment by the occult to destroy the ministry, destroy the people in the ministry. I know of three or four right now that I'm coming up with, and there's more. And their whole plan was revealed through healing and through counseling and Jesus showing up. They were here on assignment to destroy Jesus. We got them in a place where Jesus showed up and deliverance and healing took place. And next thing you know, they're walking after God and they're revealing the enemy's assignments. That's awesome stuff. That's really true. That's happening. It's happening all the time. I've got number 10. There's probably 100 things you could write down here. Number 10, remain in constant prayer. And we read that in the scripture, pray unceasingly. and another thing is you may pray and things don't change all at first. And feelings... I love to feel the things of God, but feelings can also be the enemy of obedience because your feelings want you to do something right away. And obedience is to stay, to sit, to pray, and to be close to God and to wait on the Lord, for He'll renew your strength. So sometimes feelings, not always, can be the enemy of obedience. I had this saying, I don't know where I got it from. I might have got it from Zig Ziglar years ago. But I've held on to this saying, and it's proven to be so real and truthful in my life. There is pain in obedience, but there is a greater pain in disobedience. There's pain to be obedient. It's hard. It's not easy at times. And it hurts. And people, you know, just like people running the opposite side of the room because I was being obedient to being a witness for God, for Jesus. And that hurt. But there was a greater pain in disobedience in that same club. years ago in that same club, I watched two of my friends get hit by a car on a motorcycle. And I remember shutting their eyes. And that was the night that God got a hold of me in such a powerful way and turned my life around. That night, I was a backslidden man of God. There's pain in obedience, but there's a greater pain in disobedience. Hold on to that. And the last one, again, there's probably many others. Obey God no matter what, and leave all the consequences to God. Obey God no matter what, and leave everything to Him. Leave it all to Him. Just trust Him. That's trusting God. But no, I got to do something. You know, we're always, you know, some of us might be in situations where our family is in a place of need, and we feel like we got to do something. We got, no, this isn't right. I can't just be in this place. I can't just be doing this. And God's saying, trust me in everything. Everything. And watch. And through time, He will work things out for the good. Because all things work to the good for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Every trial, every crisis, every adversity can be an opportunity for you to grow deeper in the knowledge of God, in the understanding, growing deeper in skills that God will begin to give you so you can function maybe 10 years from now in something that you're not even aware of. But you got to trust Him with every day and every season of your life for the things that are coming. Does that make sense? I think it does. I think it does. I think it's the word of the Lord. I think that's what He wants you to believe and know. Obey and leave all consequences to Him. You cannot go wrong with trusting the Lord and leaning not onto your own understanding, but trusting Him and acknowledging Him in all your ways. You can't go wrong. Why don't you stand and Michael, come on up. So if we're facing a crisis today, it doesn't matter what it is. The Lord wants you to have an opportunity to develop. He wants you to have an opportunity to grow. He wants you to draw closer to Him. He wants you to develop, as I said earlier, new skills and new things. He wants to strengthen your character. And so to confirm you, to conform you, and to confirm you in who you're called to be. But the whole purpose of this, it says, listen, every trial that we enter into is to do what? Is to conform us into the image of who? Jesus. To be more like Jesus. That's what it's about. And so if you didn't respond rightly in the crisis you've been in or the adversity that you've been in, you can respond tonight and you can just surrender tonight. And you can trust in His grace and love and say, look, I'm going to give everything to Him. I'm going to trust Him. In this season of my life, in this trial of my life, in this adversity, I'm going to give it all to Jesus. That's, you know, when I was up there playing percussion, I was looking out and I was hearing you guys sing. And I was thinking, man, there's a bunch of hungry people out there. Maybe, you know, they really are after God. That's what I was feeling. You know, and I was looking at some of your faces, you know, and I was thinking, maybe they don't really need this message. And then I felt a real unction from the Holy Spirit saying, no, they really do need this message. They need to hear this for the next journey, for the next phase, for the next season. And I felt like He said that some folks are going to be in here that have just been beat up so bad that they find it even hard to trust God anymore. And so let's just pray for a moment and let's just ask the Lord to come. Okay, would you just enter into a place of prayer? Lord, I ask that You would help us tonight to surrender to Your grace and Your love. And that even in this moment, God, that we can release any anger or bitterness within us. We just give it to You, Lord. And if we're in a trial right now, the trial of our life, or waiting to make some decisions, Lord, just help us to wait for Your will to be done. As Michael plays this and sings this, I just want you to just stay in a place of prayer. And whatever it is that you need to just give to Him, to draw closer to Him, just do it and lay it down.
I surrender.
Maybe you didn't respond rightly.
I surrender.
Yes, God.
'Cause I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender.
If you feel like you need to come and bow down at the altar here,
I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Lord, I surrender
everything.
I surrender
all bitterness, God, we give to you.
'Cause I want to know you,
yes, Jesus,
more. I want to know you. Help me to know you more. 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 Help me.
Spirit, have your way in this place. Yes. Yes, Jesus.
I want to know you more.
Yes, God.
I want to know you more.
Lay it down, Lord. We lay it down tonight.
Lord, we surrender.
We trust you, God.
Lord, we want to know you more. We want to know you more.
We cannot go wrong trusting you, Lord Jesus, with our entire life. And we do that tonight. We give everything. We lay it down, God. We trust you, Lord. No matter what our circumstances, we trust you. No matter how dark the valley is, Lord, we trust you. Give it all to you tonight, Jesus. We submit ourselves to your will and your heart. The Lord says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Then it says, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and go in peace. I hope the word has strengthened you and stay in it. God bless you and have a wonderful night in Jesus.